Are you ready? Okay, it is 7:01. I'd like to thank you all for joining us this evening for the meeting of the Mayor and Council of the Township of Clinton for November 8th, 2023. Adequate notice of this meeting has been provided in accordance with the requirements of the Open Public Meetings Act. On November 6th, 2023, a copy of this agenda was sent to the Hunterdon County Democrat, posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building, and made available to the public on the township's website. Would you please all join me in a salute to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilman
Here. Here.
Here.
Here. Here. All right, we will begin with comments from the public for items that are listed on the agenda, and only those items that are listed on the agenda. Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak about items on the agenda except the item listed as a public hearing?
Are you talking about ordinance 1190?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Where's the agenda?
It's in the hallway.
Oh, the hallway. Thank you. Thank
you. There's a copy right here.
Mm. Ought to be anyway, on the wall.
Here you go.
Okay, seeing no movement to the microphone, we'll close the public comment session and we will move to approval or correction of the minutes. Both minutes were in the box? Or did these not make it? They did not make it, because these you just sent me, I haven't seen them, because you just sent them the other day. So we're going to table both sessions of both meeting minutes to the next meeting. But thank you for turning them around in short order. I just haven't had a chance to review them yet. So that makes me feel better. We'll now move to the consent agenda. The items listed below are considered to be routine by the mayor and council and will be enacted by a single motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless requested by the mayor, a council member, or a member of the public, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and voted on separately. Are there any items that members of the council would like to poll for a separate discussion? Okay. Any members of the public wish to pull an item from the consent agenda for us to discuss separately? Seeing no movement? Yes, sir.
Are you able to talk about the G1 now or no?
No, that'll be in a minute.
Okay.
That's not on the consent agenda list. That goes through items 1 through 6 on H, or E, rather. Okay, seeing no movement, we will ask for a motion. May I have a motion, please?
I'll move.
Second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilor Dixon?
Yes.
Councilor
Kuchinowski? Yes.
Councilor Yes. Council President
yes.
Mayor
Miller. Yes. We'll now dive into reports from the members of council. Councilman Glazer, you want to begin?
Yeah, from the planning board, there was a regular meeting 2 months ago on the 6th. I've done my notes, so I'm reading this, and I'll hopefully get it all right. Probably, kind of normal agenda, one extension was granted, then there are two items I've noted to council. The Gray Rock Reloan Plan was discussed. It will be, there will be some amendments made to the plan, and I think since council in due course, we will receive that and consider it in due course.
My recollection is it was approved to send to council.
It was approved to send to council with a few amendments.
Right.
Probably go to the planning board secretary next week. The second item we discussed was the master plan consistency review of ordinance 1190. The board found that to be not inconsistent, which is a good thing. They did make some recommendations to council. I don't know if we got that letter yet, but the recommendations, want to talk about those? Or?
We'll talk about those in a minute.
All right. All my comments on that. There will be the next planning board meeting on the 20th, and the hearing for the amended preliminary site plan and the final site plan approval for the integrated project on Route 31 North will be on the agenda that day.
So that's November 20th.
November 20th, Monday the 20th.
Will be the public
hearing for the affordable housing project on Route 31. CTSA had their regular monthly meeting on the 2nd, which was last Thursday. For routine matters, they did approve their budget for 2024. They're on a different cycle than we are. That will include no rate increase for those in the township or in the rate district, and that rate here will be sometime in 2024. Their regular meeting will be Thursday, the 7th of September. They're probably going to move the time, though, from 6:30 at night to 8 in the morning. I don't know if that's fine out yet. They talked about it. I still don't know what's going to happen. And that's all I've got.
Very good. Thank you much. Councilman Kochanowski.
Nothing to report.
Okay. Councilwoman Switlick.
Environmental Commission, they met November 2nd. Our next meeting is December 7th. It was 2.5 hours. I did have a call. Mario and I, the chair of Environmental Commission, had a discussion with Globalizer in regards to budgeting this coming year. We have the addition of the green team and the expenses of the ordinances we want to try to pass. So we're trying to get that in order. I have to say I'm a little nervous of the amount that we came up with. So I hope everybody considers on the finance committee that we have now two entities, the green team and the open space. So, and also the newsletters, we want to have more of a presence in the Clinton Township newsletter. So that is expensive. I reviewed the BAM ordinance. Doug Lakota is really taking a lead on that. I gave him a copy of the Reddington ordinance that we had on our correspondence a couple months ago. Thank you, Lindsay, for getting that from me. So they're going to be looking at it, and then I'm going to ask if Matryoshka and you guys could review it to pass. It's really becoming a problem. We're actually now somebody on regional planted bamboo on their yard, and now it's going on our open space property to the disc golf course. So it's really, if you had any questions about bamboo, Doug will tell you about it. So it's pretty bad. Another thing that was brought up is E. coli levels high in the south branch of Rockaway Creek in Bradenton. Their Environmental Commission has been testing that. They got a $10,000 grant from New Jersey American Water, so it's high, and they've been taking their samples to the laboratory. They are starting to sample over where Rennie Acres is, and it was somewhat high. They're testing it again. This says at the end of October. If it is high, we're going to go for that grant and try to track it upstream because it's pretty high. It's actually the Rockaway Creek flows in the Lamington River, which flows into the north branch of the Raritan, which is used as drinking water for more than 1 million people in New Jersey. So we got to watch that. Okay. Green team meeting is on Tuesday. Our next meeting is December 5th. We had our litter cleanup at the Endale train station on Saturday. We're supposed to have 4 a year, so this is our one, I guess, for this year. The shelter building class is at Echo Hill on next Saturday. Evergreen Walk is at the Arboretum December 9th. And the pollinator garden, the sign was installed over at the entrance, the pollinator garden. We had an educational sign put on there. So we just have to do a photo op. I don't know. Are we waiting for you to come?
No, I thought we were waiting.
I don't know. I don't even know how many people are involved.
I think I thought it was the end of the month, and I thought I said I was free that day, probably.
Oh, okay.
Could be wrong.
All right. Anyway, open space, we met October 26th, and our next meeting is December 14th, for office month. We're getting a meeting together to review Prospect East. The trails seem to constantly be confusing people, so literally the committee's going to go over there and see what the heck's going on. When the anchor sign is like a metal piece that's all bent, so we're going to get Les and Mike McHugh, both open space committee members, are going to do a nice wooden sign with the county and install it. Hunting, we have 21 deer total, so it keeps going up. Excited about that. And I'm looking into foraging classes for next year with Wild Spawn Mushroom LLC. I'm hoking to meet the guy and see if it's well suited for Woody Acres, and that would be funded through environmental education. Woody Acres, because it's more of a technical class. You really need to know what you're doing, so it's more costly per head. And I had a phone call with Carrie Owens. She's the contact at the DEP in regards to Green Acre funding. Mike and I are trying to really focus on that this coming year. And we really need some guidance on how to attack, how to get the funding from Green Acres. And it was really a good phone call. She really spelled everything out for us, and I'm really happy with how the phone call went.
And I have to send you a picture from Springside. Someone hung that for Christmas, I suppose, or maybe E.T., hung a bicycle well up in the trees.
Oh, no. That's there. That's been there.
Has it been there?
Yeah, it's part of their... Yeah. I don't know how it got there.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'll send you the email then.
Yeah, the beginning of the...
If you can reply to Michelle, because she was confused by it.
Michelle Lee?
Yeah.
She didn't know that bike was supposed to... been there for years.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, some kind of different thing about mountain bikers stuff is funny, I guess.
Good. Well, thank you much.
Yes.
Council President Strauss.
Thank you, Mayor. First and foremost, congratulations on your victory.
Thank you much.
Yep. Look forward to another 3 years.
Me too.
Okay, Clinton Township Board of Education. They received a grant for full-day preschool for our district, and that's starting in January. I did not see the results of the ballot question, although...
The first one passed, the second one...
Yeah, that's what the last conversation Chief DeRosa and I had about. That. And also, they completed their CUSAC for this year, and pending a visit from the state. And for those of you who don't know, the CUSAC is the New Jersey Quality Single Accountability Continuum, which allows a public school districts to do monitoring and self-evaluation for themselves. Historical Preservation Commission, thank you for passing on that letter. They're aware of the 250-year celebration of the Declaration of Independence in 2026. And the vacancy needs to be filled. Did you see that? That someone stepping down?
I did not.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. He's been on for very long. He was on longer than I was. Is his term up at the end of the year?
I did not. Yeah.
If not, he'll need to get a resignation letter to... I'll check, but he'll need to get a resignation letter to Ms. Heller for her files.
Sure, with his term expiration.
I can check 2 seconds. I'll let you go on with your report. Yeah.
Public safety, spoke with Chief DeRosa and saw the emails about the speed complaints that were occurring, so thank you for your proactiveness on that. And reports to and clarification of the Clinton Township newsletter article. Didn't know if you were going to move forward on the GoGov. I know the administrator asked about checking some other vendors down in at the league this week.
Yeah, next week, they both look good to me. We'll check them out and go down there and come to a decision what we want to use.
Gotcha. And I'm sure the chief will provide any update on the accreditation at the applicable time. Work orders seem to be moving with the fire stations, and no report for EMS, OEM, or CERT, and that's all I have.
Okay, very good. I'll hold the personnel report until the resolutions, which are forthcoming, but I think at the end of this evening we'll have just really one position left to fill in the administrative office, a floater that we've long envisioned to help between the construction office, because we only have one technical assistant. So when she goes on vacation, it becomes a little challenging, and also to help with zoning, because we have the same problem there, so with planning and zoning. So hopefully we'll have that filled in not too long. And then from the Recreation Committee, we had a very successful trunk or treat. We had a good turnout, good number of trunks, I think more trunks than last year. Weather was better than I would have anticipated, and I think that helped to draw a lot of participation, which was nice, but as I understand, a lot of the candy ran out, though perhaps not all. A lot of the candy did run out. Yeah, but it was good. And then we also had a very successful food truck festival this Saturday, good police presence. But it was enjoyable. I stopped by for a little bit and seemed to be a good crowd for that as well. So that's that. The Rec Committee is also pursuing a grant opportunity for an inclusive playground. That would be for the one at Marukian. So that'll be progressing. We'll have our grant writer help, and that's due in February. On the road front, hopefully by the end of this week, Petticoat will be striped, if its totality, at least what's been paved, part of Allerton as well. And we did receive a grant for about $155,000 to do Muirfield, Glen Eagles, and what's the one I'm missing? Heather Hill? So that'll be in the works and hopefully underway next year. And that is the extent of my report. Chief, do you have anything to report besides what we'll talk about in a minute?
The agency officer for fears. Counting November, going down December, all the money goes to the Oldenburg Foundation, and for cancer.
Very nice.
For 2 months or so.
Worthwhile cause, yeah. Excellent. Well, good job. His term does expire at the end of the year, so we'll take care of that. All right. We will now move to the ordinance. This is the second reading adoption for ordinance number 1190-2023. Before we begin, it was our intent to have the public hearing this evening. A couple of things happened on the way to the forum. The first, FLY's been here since Monday. You can try.
Yeah,
all year. Oh, got it. Get that in a minute. But Councilman Glazer identified an issue that was borderline requiring a reintroduction of the ordinance, and then we identified the clerk and the attorney that there was a carryover error in the notification and the notice posted in the paper. As a result of those two things, our intent this evening was to reintroduce the ordinance with a minor change, with a new notification for public hearing in December, probably December 6th. However, Councilman Glazer, I'll hand it to you because I think you have some other concerns, some of which were raised at a planning board meeting on Monday by some residents.
But we want to explore those concerns a little bit further. We have a couple other concerns. So I'll go back. The planning board found the existing proposed ordinance consistent with the master plan. So I don't think we have a consistency problem. It's more the details of kind of a complex ordinance. So as we touched one part of the ordinance, the planning board identified one of those, the use that's been permitted for years and years because of some new definitions. Is not clearly permitted, so they want us to adjust the ordinance to make that change. There's some other scribbler errors on some legends for the map. But then, since then, we've identified some other changes, and because we make one change, it impacts something else. We just need time to pull on that string and do some research to understand how it's going to play out, whether how it needs to be amended, what needs to be amended, and we're not really... We only identified that literally overnight, so we're not through with that.
Right. So it's not in the position where it could be reintroduced this evening.
It is not, because I can't get amendment language to council, unfortunately. If I could get language, I wouldn't be confident in it, so it wouldn't be the right thing to do. So I am going to suggest we table it.
I would agree. Okay. I think we would have had to table the public hearing and then reintroduce anyway.
Okay.
And Cecil, would you correct me if I'm misstating this?
Well, previously you could have rescheduled and re-advertised the public hearing.
Right.
By tabling the ordinance, you literally are
taking it off the table
until you decide that you're bringing it back. So it's not like you're adjourning the public hearing to a known date. This would be simply taking it off.
And what are the issues, just for the benefit of the public? So the ordinance was created and drafted by the ordinance committee of the planning board, which entails three members, because members can't meet without having a quorum, and we don't want to have an illegal meeting offline. It was drafted by those three members and the planner, and as a result of some of that conversation on Monday, it was discovered that some of the changes may, for example, allow fast food restaurants on Beaver Avenue, which is not what anybody intended.
This is one of those scripter things. It changes one thing, oh my gosh, it pops up over there. So we need to take a step back, a deep breath, reread, make sure there's no other time bombs in there.
Now, as a result of our schedule for the council and the way that the law follows, we may not be able to get this adopted this year. It doesn't mean we're putting it off forever or that we wish to. But if we were to introduce it in the beginning of December, we have a very small window to get that noticed and introduced before the holidays. And we can't carry an ordinance over from one year to the next. So we can't introduce in December and adopt it in January.
I think we brought out a hearing on December 20th either during the holidays.
It would be tough.
Yeah.
It would be a very logistically difficult thing to do. And on something like this, and we allowed a month for the public hearing because we wanted time for it to percolate and get through to the public and make sure that everybody's aware of it and have a chance to read it. I don't think we want to rush it with these changes either. So I just want everybody to understand that we may be tabling this ordinance until January, Well, I don't know if we would do it. We would have to do it the next meeting. So you're probably looking at it taking effect in February.
So you guys are looking at it, and then you're going to make your changes, but when do you think the timeline is for them for us to review or the public to review?
Probably well. The public, we wouldn't open up the public review until it's reintroduced.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But it's certainly, I'm open for any comments if you want to send. My email address is on the website. So the existing draft, the framework is actually very good. We're worried down in some drips and drafts and say, oh, you made this change to this definition, therefore it changes something in the zone. So it's not the guts of it are changing the sense, it's these little things. But if any comments that people have, we're certainly open to, and take those into consideration. And then we would essentially restart the process in January. The one thing that some people might be concerned, the ordinance does include the express prohibition of warehouses in all commercial zones. Let's remember, that's a belt and suspender action because they're already not permitted. So we can't have warehouses in township anyways. This was now sort of the double secret prohibition of it. So we'll still get to that next year. It's not going to be any new exposure on that front. So I'm not worried about that. We did kind of talk about that, that no, our protections are solid. We don't want warehouses.
Okay. Is there any discussion further at the council level?
No.
I think at this point we can't have the public hearing. But anybody who wishes to comment about anything may do so during public comment.
Can I just ask a question about the master plan about that area?
The master plan, I would ask you to hold to the public comment session at the end, but absolutely you may.
When we post it on the website, is there any way we can redline the changes so people can see like, the sections?
I think that should be possible. In fact, I think that would be beneficial
for
all of us.
On council too, because the changes will be, I think
that if you bring it back as a revised ordinance, yes.
Yeah.
If you're coming back with a new ordinance.
But I don't see why we can't post both versions.
Well, we could do it as long as it's very clear that it's.
Right. Right.
For informational purposes or whatever.
Yes, that we can.
Yeah, 100%. Because it's a long hard stuff. We go through and reread the whole thing and see, some of the changes are actually very, very, like, particular. And
that would be
better
for us.
Of course.
All right. Is everyone in agreement? Okay. Thank you much. So we will not have the public hearing this evening. We will move on to resolutions, and again, there will be a public comment session at the end. It shouldn't be that far off. So the first resolution is resolution number 203-2023. This is a resolution of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton authorizing the purchase from BSN Sports of one batting cage for the Recreation Department in an amount not to exceed $12,252.50. I believe all the information's now been provided. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say?
Talked about it.
Good. Ad nauseum.
Yes.
I will make the motion. May I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Kuchinowski?
No.
Councilman Sotlak?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
Mayor
Millett?
Yes. Thank you all. We'll move next to resolution number 204-2023. This is a resolution of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton authorizing the emergency purchase of a Ford F-150, or Ford 2023 F-150 police responder 4x4 vehicle for the Township Police Department through Whitmoyer Ford, Inc. in the amount not to exceed $46,500. And just so folks understand, we talked about this at the last meeting because we had a similar situation with Public Works. Emergency purchase really just means that we've been unable to source this any other way than through this particular vendor in a timely fashion. What's the wait time, Chief, on a vehicle these days, particularly this kind?
Probably close to a year.
Yeah. So in order to maintain the fleet and the turnover and the churn, We're going to do this on an expedited fashion. Also want to point out that this is going to be paid for by seized DEA money, money that was seized some years back that finally came through to the township. So no impact from the township's budget or the taxpayer or to the taxpayer via this purchase. Because I will say that I would probably think twice about a pickup truck if it wasn't done this way, so that's good. Chief, do you have anything you want to say?
Looking forward to it. It's something new. It's
something that
we could use.
Would have an added benefit.
Yes.
to the department.
Our department knows there's that nature of emergency situation, so, plus it's pursuit rated and the rate's low, so.
Questions? Oh, very good. I have a motion, second.
Second.
Good with Council President Strauss. Roll call, please.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman Keshawski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Stutler?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
Yes. Next, we have Resolution 205-2023. This is a resolution of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton authorizing the purchase of lighting work for said F-150 police responder vehicle through East Coast Emergency Lighting in an amount not to exceed $17,361.60. This is via state contract number 17-FLEET-00761. And again, this is also being funded via the DEA funds. And I'm not going to, yeah, exactly. May I have a motion?
I'll move.
May I have a second?
Second.
There you go. Roll call, please.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman Keshawski?
Yes.
Councilman Stutler?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
Mayor Milet?
Yes. We now have resolution number 206. This is a resolution of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton approving the accreditation program through Lexapol for the Township of Clinton Police Department in the amount not to exceed $39,900. We've previously been accredited as a police department, I believe. Has that lapsed?
Yes.
It has lapsed. It's a very valuable thing for the department on a lot of levels, and I'll let the chief explain from his perspective.
So it just shows you're following the best practices, policies, procedures, safety-wise, building-wise, everything. And quite frankly, it's the way of the future. You should be accredited. Again, it's paid for by the seizure money. We will be starting very soon. We are going to have to make some slight improvements with our evidence room and stuff, and just for a audit and stuff like that. But it should be an issue. We should be done hopefully in about 6 to 7 months.
And it ensures that our department is operating at the highest level
with
the right policies, helps with the, yeah. So there'll be an insurance benefit to the township.
Right.
As well.
I have a question, if I could.
Please.
The resolution talks about $12,100 for the 12-month accreditation maintenance services.
Yeah, it's just basically, it's the one-year fee that the state, or the Lexapol will download all the battle-tested policies. Kind of policies are good, but there's changes constantly.
Okay.
There's no way we'd be able to keep up with that.
So this will be an ongoing.
Correct.
We need to maintain our maintenance.
Right. Yes.
Some of
this will be cheaper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we keep the TIF benefit, which offsets.
Yes.
Right. So under previous leadership, the accreditation was obtained more than 10 years ago now,
yes.
I think.
And then it lapsed.
But it wasn't maintained.
Right.
So
yeah.
This is...
Right.
And you know, ongoing cost, but it has the
great benefits.
Right.
We'll be able to accomplish
that.
Any other questions? I'll make the motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman Keshawski?
Yes.
Councilman Stutler?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
Mayor Milet?
Yes. Next, we have resolution 207-2023. This is a resolution of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton authorizing Taylor Gribben to be hired as a full-time employee and appointing same to the position of Planning and Zoning Board Secretary and to the position of Zoning Officer. Ms. Gribben was so kind as to actually attend our Planning Board meeting on Monday and serve as the secretary for that meeting before her official start date. She's doing a great job so far. Just one meeting, but we're happy to have her on board. There'll be a lot of learning to do for her, but I think she's more than qualified to succeed in that position. Any questions, comments? It'll be great to have somebody in that office, too. So I have a motion from Councilman, second. Second. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman Keshawski?
Yes.
Councilman Sutler?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
Mayor Milet?
Yes. Now I have what I am, I don't even know if I have enough superlatives to read this one. I'm really thrilled to be able to announce that Ms. Kramer, Donna Kramer, who was an administrative assistant for the township up and through till about March, for about a year and a half, has agreed to return. So not only a known entity, but a very, very positive influence in the building, knows what she's doing. The salary will be commensurate with what she would have been making anyway had she stayed. So I am thrilled, excited, elated. I don't know. I can't. It's just fantastic. So this is resolution number 208-2023, a resolution of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton authorizing the hiring of a full-time confidential administrative assistant to the administrator, Ms. Donna Kramer. Does anybody want to make a motion?
I'll move.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Baker?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Sutlick?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
Mayor Moore?
Yes. We now have resolution number 209-2023, a resolution of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton authorizing the application to the County of Hunterdon for county open space trust fund monies in connection with a potential open space acquisition. I'll turn the floor over to Ms. Sutlick.
Well, there's funds that we are allowed to request by grant. Mm-hmm. So this resolution is basically giving us permission for open space to reapply for the grant and
put it toward acquiring.
For land acquisition, absolutely. So as I said in my reports, we're really trying to focus on properties and acquiring them for our preservation. So they have their meeting at the end of the month. So if we have this resolution and our application in order, we should be able to review it by the end of the month, and hopefully we'll see something.
Perfect.
It'd be very helpful. It would be like probably the 50% of any kind of land acquisition we take, depending on what it is.
Yeah. So, given what we have before us, I think this is a good thing. Any other questions?
No.
May I have a motion then?
I'll move.
May I have a second? Oh, there you go. Roll call.
Councilman Glaser?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Sutton?
Yes.
Council President
Strauss? Yes.
Mayor Millett?
Yes. Next is resolution 210-2023. This is a resolution of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton authorizing the revised plans for the emergency operation plans and annexes. So our emergency operation plans have to be updated now every year. They used to have to be every four, was it? So it's every two. I'm sorry, it's every two. It used to be four. It's now every two. Our OEM coordinator has done a good job getting this pulled together for us so that we can proceed with this, and I didn't see anything totally glaring. So,
I have a few things I'll hand to Steve for the next update. They're not glaring. They're minor things.
Yeah.
I'll hand them to him so we can do it the next time.
Yep, that's perfect. And the more eyes, actually, this is a nice process. I don't think the township has done this process, bringing it to council. It certainly hasn't been in the 10 years I've been here. And it's a lot to read, but it's good to have eyes on it more than just a few.
Topic,
yeah.
It really is.
So, in that case, may I have a motion?
Yeah.
May I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Sutton?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
Mayor Millett?
Yes. Lastly, we have resolution 211-2023. This is a resolution of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton authorizing a transfer of funds within the township's accounts. We can, as a municipality, we're able to transfer between accounts only beginning in November. So November and December, if one account is getting tight and others have some room, we can transfer between the two to offset so that
just
operations just continue.
Doesn't change the budget.
Correct. So,
we do it every year.
Councilman Glazer raised a point to me that I think is well taken.
It's
and that
coming the next meeting. I talked to the CMO today.
Perfect.
Yeah, so there'll be more of this, but every year we have a couple of quarters end of years where we switch up the accounts.
Yeah. So good. Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? I know, I said that before. There's food right between us.
I think you're missing the other one.
No, she got it.
No.
That's why it's just.
I'll move.
Regenerating. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, now we go to the public comment session. For anything anybody wants to talk about. Come on down, sir. First to raise your hand. We're just doing names and the township in which you live. That's it.
Okay, my name is John Dwyer. I live in Clinton Township.
Yep.
Having just read the document on the Gray Rock redevelopment project. I've actually got a couple questions. I'd like you to allow me to ask the questions, and then you can answer it as a whole piece. First and foremost is, I thought that our commitment to low-income housing was going to be met with Clinton Woods and then this new housing that's going in next to Sherrod's old property. But, okay, question one. Question two is, in looking at what's proposed there, the acquisition of existing buildings, which I don't know, does the township, will the township have to destroy those or whatever, and then convert the existing construction site into office, retail, restaurant. I mean, has anyone looked at how much surplus office space there is in Hunterdon County right now? I mean, between Califon, Highbridge, Clinton, Flemington, I mean, there is an awful lot of surplus that's not being rented, not being occupied right now. Why are we proposing that next to the VR zone there, that small enclave of Clinton Township, which is being pressured in the north by the Nevis project, which is obviously Clinton, but this will then compress that enclave all the more. We are concerned about additional congestion and traffic locally there. I don't know if any of you use that route past Finagles to get on 31, but it's a dangerous intersection now. I mean, the people that come over that ridge and then come down towards McDonald's are flying. And I guess my fourth question is, since you cannot use eminent domain or condemnation, the township, I assume, will have to outright purchase these parcels. And in that case, you would need to find willing sellers to do this, I mean, including an occupied residence now. And as such, a willing seller typically is not going to have to go on appraised value. They're going to go on what they want to get for a piece of property and expect you to meet that, or they don't have to sell because you don't have a lot of pressure. Again, not eminent domain nor condemnation. So
I'm going to take it. I'm going to do the first question first.
Okay.
And then I'm going to do the second and third and fourth together.
Thank you.
So...
Before you get to the question, I just want to put a comment on the record. Go ahead.
Wait, he talks first, or you?
No, he can talk first, but I just want to make clear on the record what the status is of the document.
Fair enough.
Oh. Oh.
So you can you do it at the end, or do it now?
I'd rather just do it now,
go ahead.
So that we've got the context of it in the minutes. I know you spoke about it during your reports.
Right.
Unfortunately, I didn't catch 100%. Is this document still before the planning board in draft? Has it been finalized and transmitted to
it? It has not been transmitted. It's going to be finalized by the planner with some amendments from the board. It will be transmitted when the planning board starts.
Okay, so
I don't think we received
it. Was approved with amendments by the planning board to transmit on just Monday, 2 days ago.
Okay, that's fine. So I just wanted to be clear in the record what we're talking about, which is a finalized plan, however, nothing's before the council.
Correct.
And then just so that, just process-wise, since we've got people in the audience, I'm sure you covered it already, but just to be, again, clear, the plan itself, in order for that to go into effect, the council has to introduce and pass an ordinance. So there will be a formal public hearing that will be held on the plan once the ordinance is introduced and prior to adoption. So again, I just want to make it very clear that this is informal. Anyone can ask questions and speak, obviously, but there will be a formal opportunity.
But this is a good opportunity to dispel some misconceptions, I think.
Question. I'm not suggesting that we not have the discussion. No. I just wanted the context.
So I'll start with the affordable housing piece. So the affordable housing obligation is met by an affordable housing plan that we have, which I believe is posted on the township's website. And that, in addition to Clinton Woods and the units over on Beaver Ave, in order of appearance, then is the Ingerman project on Route 31 next to Sherrod's. After that, actually, are two of the three of the lots on the eastern side of Gray Rock Road that are part of this redevelopment plan with
22 units.
How many affordable units was
seven
it? Seven affordable units.
22 units, but seven are affordable?
I think it's actually 36.
It's supposed to be 36 units, it's all we've got in the two parcels, only seven are affordable, 100% satisfied.
And then Headley and Alton Place, in that order of appearance of priorities. So that's where the plan stands. That covers us through 2025.
It's part of an existing commitment.
A redevelopment plan is really, it's a way for a municipality, which is how we're using it, to change the zoning for a specific area of the township in such a way that it encourages redevelopment of targeted parcels and to provide an incentive to developers to do so. The township has no plans to acquire any of the properties in that area. None. Zero, zippo, zilch. We don't intend to. There is a developer who's already acquired Mr. Yeager's old office building, who has a plan that he's probably, once this is all done, going to bring forward to do a little bit of residential. Nothing firm for the lot that's got the historic home on it, or which is in very bad shape, I understand, too, which is a shame and an item of time to deal with.
It is a 1780 house.
It is. Yep, the Costi Miller building. Yep. And that is unfortunately where we couldn't even get them to mow it. So it's a challenge, that sort of thing. We actually twice or three times now have done so ourselves and boarded it up ourselves and put a lien on that property. So we have no intention of possessing any of those parcels. We had done a redevelopment area just for the east side, a designation with a plan to be forthcoming, and the property owner on the west side was going to be the Zinn Realty, Dr. Zinn office, medical office building. They asked to be added in because their office building was, to the point, not really going to be economically viable.
Most of the funding.
Right. So the plan really sets forth the development parameters and restrictions, and in order to best get developers interested, I think the planning board felt it was best, especially on the west side, to set as wide a breadth of possibilities to entice somebody to come in. So it's not that you have to build office space or that you have to build a medical office building. It's that those are all permitted. So you could do, somebody could do a mix. It's and then at the time that each of those particular applications were to come before the planning board, that's when the traffic would be discussed and, in detail evaluated. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Also.
Come on.
Yeah.
You guys want to join me?
Sure.
Yes. Swing a chair over. Someone's just grab a chair from us.
Yeah.
And again, just name and township and.
Okay. I'm Don Sherple. I live in Tewksbury Township. I used to live in Quinton Township.
You moved?
I did move. Yes, to Pottersville. Little town that, yeah,
nice.
Right across. I'm actually on East Hills Hunters County, but if you cross over, maybe.
Did you find a good realtor?
What's it?
Did you find a good realtor?
It wasn't that hard. It wasn't that hard. But yeah, so I do work at Coldwell Banker, but I've been involved with the Vote House since the 2006.
Six, yeah, 2006.
And then we took possession in 2012. It is a loyalist homestead. It has a very strong material culture. That even today, I was visiting. The ceilings are being redone, and they were doing investigations for looking for clay in the soil or in different spots. And you know, so it's the Waddle and Daub decorative plaster ceilings. Not everyone's going to get excited about that, but it's better than drop ceilings, for sure. And it has a really interesting historic narrative with being a loyalist site. And we're coming up on 2026, which is the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. So it's going to be a really exciting time. And we'd like to work with the Historic Preservation Commission of the Township. What we have here is an artifact that is the most important Revolutionary-era site in all of Hunterdon County, notable in New Jersey. There's only two sites in New Jersey, Vaughan Pitt Hall in Monmouth County. Bergen County also had a lot of loyalists. And Hunterdon County, right around the ironworks, had a lot of loyalists. John Bolt, of course, was one. So that's sort of the background of what's been going on here over the last 10 or more years. And Dave Overaker is the president of Vote House, and said he'd talk a little bit about what we're doing right now.
Yeah, good evening. So I'm David Overaker. I'm a Lebanon Township resident, president of the Board of Trustees of the Vought House here in Clinton Township. So I want to tell you about the projects we have going on. We've had great success this year. We've applied for 3 grants. We've won 2. We're waiting on the third. First grant is for attic archaeology to look under the floorboards. We've already executed the archaeology. We've identified a bunch of artifacts that are being documented. We're expecting a report.
Karen's working on that, too.
We're expecting a report on that in January, so that was one award. Second grant award is for another archaeology project in the cellar kitchen under the floor there to look for artifacts to give us more background on the earliest residents of the home. The third pending is to finish the repairs of the decorative plaster ceilings throughout the main floor. If you're aware, there's 4 decorative ceilings, so hopefully, fingers crossed, we get that. We'll be well along the way of getting those repaired next year. Don mentioned the 250th anniversary, 2026. We have huge plans for that. Our goal is really to have the south face of the building fully restored. So what we have left there is the cellar level windows and door, regrading the front, putting the exterior stairs to the formal entry with the roof over it. We plan to have all those ceilings fully repaired and have at least one room, the formal parlor, fully restored floor to ceiling. So we, you know, that's our goal for the 250th. We're also planning to have a big event, which we'll talk about probably in another meeting. So, you know, we, to support our goals, we've got a big fundraising campaign we've kicked off. We've launched that on Facebook, direct mail. I even have our little flyer here of, our fundraising campaign we've kicked off. Don't need to show it to you, but anyway. So point being that we're really ramping up our fundraising. We're looking for grant funding through private and public sources. So that's kind of where we are today. We have big plans for the 250th, so yeah. I'll hand it over to...
Yeah, you want to talk a little bit about what you found in the... some of the artifacts uncovered?
Okay, my name is Karen Smith. I live in Glen Gardner. I work in Clinton Township. I'm on the Board of Trustees, and I was involved in 3 days of the attic archaeology. We were looking for any evidence that people, how they use that space upstairs. It's kind of a unique space. So all the floorboards were lifted up, preserving them. We removed the more modern insulation and dug down to the original insulation, which was, buckwheat hole. Just dumped in there.
Yeah.
We removed it all. We sifted through all of it and picked up a lot of things, nails, things you would expect to see. But some unique finds were these woven sacks with corn cobs in them, in the floorboards, that had been, over the years, of course, degraded and mouse chewed and all. But leaves a big mystery that why would you put nice flour sacks of corn cobs in the attic under the floorboards on top of the insulation. Some of, unfortunately, because it had been disturbed over the years to modernize the structure, a lot of artifacts may have been removed, but we found some interesting things. We found pieces of ceramic figurines. We found fabric, a lot of fabric. We found an almost intact folded piece of fabric under the floorboard. We found pieces of clothing, bonnets, just things you would not expect, surprising things under there. So it'll be interesting to see the report when the archaeologist comes back with that.
In January. And also, I want to the reason why we did archaeology in the attic is because this is presumed to be the slave quarters this is the Volk family had two slaves, a man and a woman. We don't know their names. We do know that they lived with the family and traveled with them to Nova Scotia. After the war, of course, they were expelled to Nova Scotia. There's a very high overhead in the attic. The way it's braced, the walls are braced, its brackets back, and so it does seem that that open space was, which was typical, and Jersey farms of 250 acres or more would have one or two slaves, and of course would have hired labor during the harvest as well. When we had the original investigation of the Waterloo and Dobbs ceiling, what to do to stabilize that, in order to apply for the grant that we will or will not, or probably will get in January, to investigate that, they went up in the attic and lifted the floorboard, and there were corn cobs there, and the preservation works, the people who were in charge of doing the attic, the Waterloo and Dobbs ceiling, they just moved the corn cobs onto the side. And that's something that an archaeologist, so that required us to have an archaeologist come in and investigate the entire ceiling. We found things from not just the 18th century, but 19th century too, evidently. So that's really it. I mean, we really wanted to focus on 2026, Declaration of Independence. Here we have in Hunter County's most important revolutionary era site, you know, statewide importance, that's in Clinton Township. And we think that, you know, the Historic Preservation Commission and the Vote House together with the county, of course, I'm on the County Cultural and Heritage Commission, so, you know, that's why I threw in that thing about what we're doing with HuntHistory.org and the tourism, you know, with Mark Salick and Explore Hunter. So we'd like to start to think about what would be possible. We also know that you have, like, you know, $208,000 in that fund that Bill Millett administers, and also that there's another $70,000 possible in January. So, you know, things do take money, of course. The grants that we've gotten from the state of New Jersey, from the Historic Commission, from the Cultural Trust, and from the Historic Trust is really moved us along, and we're doing the fundraising now. So things, you know, things are happening again at the Boathouse. So I don't know if you have any questions or anything.
Have you spoken to the Historic Commission yet?
I did talk to Neil before the last meeting. They did not meet because they didn't have a quorum. So we'd like to actually meet with them. We thought we were going to meet with them, but they didn't meet last week.
Yeah, definitely do that. We did just authorize applications for the open space. So we have a couple of parcels that, aside from the elephant in the room, that we have an interest in for a variety of reasons,
right,
between development potential and environmental restrictions and concerns. So I don't know, certainly not this year. We'll have to see how the things go. Has the county given you a grant yet at all?
2014, we got like $90,000 when this open space and historic preservation tax first went into effect. There were fewer people applying for it, and we were in great need, of course, because we just acquired the house 2 years earlier. So we did get a grant last year for operating expenses, but that was only a couple thousand dollars, you know. So, I mean, you know, it all adds up. Well, the state has money, and the state has owned sites, but the state-owned sites are not receiving the state money, you know. I mean, for the 250th anniversary, the state is putting money, large sums, into a couple of sites, like proprietary house.
But I think to have some Glazer's question, you have received some state grant money.
Oh, yeah, we have. So these grants are all
three of these.
Yeah,
I'm
just wondering, we're working with them to get a earmark in next year's state budget, which sometimes is very successfully.
Yeah. You know, I hate to say it, the election went the way the election went. But now we have, for us, new representation. But
get some of our friends from other towns that
they have been more successful than others in getting money for projects.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, it's an ongoing process, all right. You know, we've been around for 250 years, and we'll be around.
I've been to a few of the open houses there. I didn't make it sure, but it's a fascinating site.
It's really something, isn't it?
I've been there twice, I think. I saw big progress from one to the next.
We're very happy to see that sidewalk going, too. Because you need this, right, the sidewalk.
You mean the site plan for the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Get the sidewalk, and, you know, there's so much need.
Yeah.
It's a lot of need. Well, but I think what Dave was talking about is to bring it to a stage where people can go up the stairs. They won't have to necessarily rap on the front door with their sword, the hilt of their sword, the way that they did when they arrested Christopher Bolt. But they can go through the front door. The ceiling is
the serpent
ceiling is now restored. They stripped away so much of the paint. I saw that through the door today. I didn't go inside because it was a mess.
And stabilized.
Because stabilizing?
That'll be next year.
Yeah. Okay.
But 2026, you really want to be able to have it more regularly open to the public.
Yeah, and then you go through that door.
Have a real open house.
Serpent overhead, and you go to the right, and you step into the parlor, and it's completely redone. That's our goal for 2026. It's a big goal. But... It's a good one.
Thank you for starting.
All right. So thanks for your time.
Definitely get out to the Historic Commission.
Yeah, I'll bother Neil again, and we'll see if we can.
Thank you all for coming and giving us an update.
Appreciate it. Sure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, Liz Lugo, Annadale. okay, so this isn't sort of tangentially related to the 1190-2023 ordinance. In looking at the master plan that recommends the rezoning from C1 to OB2, it mentions a few things, and I was just wondering about the master plan and whether there's like an annotated version of it where, like, you know, they make statements here, and I just wonder where the statements came from. For instance, the first statement that they make is, this recommendation comes in anticipation that the existing solar farm is reaching the end of its useful life and will likely not be redeveloped. I just wonder where they came to the conclusion of an existing solar farm coming to the end of its useful life. I've always seen solar farms have like a life of like 25, 30 years. To my understanding, that solar farm hasn't been there that long.
It's been over 10 years.
But 10's a really, really short.
I also think it depends on the credits that they get.
Okay. So then a second question would be, when that solar farm was put there, was that... Like that, I would imagine they were given a variance because they were getting some sort of credits or environmental thing.
You would have to look at the planning. Was that a planning board or a board of adjustment?
I don't know.
Okay, it's not the end of the useful life of the solar field, but rather the end of the credits for the solar field is what you assume? So it's just like they make statements here, end of the useful life of a solar field.
My understanding was that came from the owner had conversations with township.
Yeah, but this is placed in the master plan as a fact, right? So I'm just wondering. I was wondering if there was like, what's the basis of this fact that's put in this master plan? If you're saying it's...
That's my understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
No, of course.
But somebody reviewed this and allowed it to be put forth as the part of the master plan.
Yes.
So I would imagine that there's a fact that it came from a source, and I'm just curious. I'd like to know what the source was. If you're saying it's your understanding could be incorrect, right? So
it's true.
Yeah. So I'm just.
It's my understanding as well. I think
so. Is there a place that this where there's like notations to, like, you know, when usually when something is put forth like this that it, as a document, it's there's like a footnote like, oh, this is from this. There's nothing like that here.
No.
Okay. That's good to know. So then the next question was, it also made the statement that the OB2 zone would appropriately allow for office and mixed-use development of this area of the township, which has low traffic. who's determining that it's low traffic? Has there been a low traffic? Has there been a traffic study of that area since the new developments that took place there in 2014? Because I would disagree with the fact that it's low traffic. I think the train station has a lot of traffic, and there's a lot of near misses and accidents and stuff based on the way that it's laid out, especially with East Street being so narrow at the top and people parking on both sides of the road. It's pretty much a cluster of cars, and to watch the school bus weaving in between parked cars.
I don't think it's specific to that. I think it's just a relative for that particular use.
That's my understanding, too. So, you know, the goal of this would be that the permitted uses in OB2 are different than C1. C1 is meant to be a commercial zone. So it's really geared towards offices, storage, retail, all that. The OB2 is broader. The OB2 zone, if you imagine, is sort of the more southern part of the village, like along Beaver. So it's more houses.
I know that's sort of the that's part of the comment thing.
Right.
But to call that low impact, low traffic, I'm just wondering where these statements are being put in the master plan, and I'm not like asking you to tell me right now. It's just
re-exam report. The master plan is a separate document.
This came from the master plan. This company.
But I believe that emanated from the planner.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The planner created the document.
As a relative for that.
Burgess Associates put this document together for you.
Yes.
You don't think that they had some notations when they put it together that, like, oh, this is a low traffic area, like says the owner of the person who wants to redevelop it? Or, you know, it's just.
Does it say low traffic area or low traffic? What does it say again?
Hold on a second. It says, the OBT zone would appropriately allow for the office and mixed-use development of this area of the township, which has low traffic. And I was wondering how they're defining it as low traffic, because, honestly, I disagree.
Again, I think that's relevant. If you look at it to Beaver Avenue or the rest,
at certain times of the day, Beaver Avenue is dead. At certain times of the day, the train station is dead. At other times of the day, the train station is very busy. And, you know, when the buses are coming through and people are driving and commuting and train comes in and out, it's busy.
The only thing that I could recommend is that the next time that the planning board takes up a re-exam of the master plan, that you come make those comments. I don't know when that'll be. It's periodic. How often do they have to do that?
It's a minimum of every 10 years, but it has to be every 10 years, but a lot of boards will do it more
often. We're going to have to update it for the sustainability climate change stuff that the state.
That's an element when they update. I don't agree to re-examine the entire report. That's an outcome.
Fair enough. Yeah.
The last re-exam we did was on like 2019 or 20. We've done them every 3 or so years. I would think, depending on what happens in 25 round with affordable housing, we might have to do an update at that point. I don't know.
It's also possible to amend a master plan without doing a re-examination.
Of course. Yeah. The planning board can do so. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious where, like, the information that's in here and there.
Unfortunately, those questions would have been better asked at the time.
It's not this body's document is a problem.
Yeah, no, I know, but you're using this document as a basis for Ordinance 1190.
Yeah, you have to.
So I think it's significant to bring up that some of the things in this master document don't sound correct to me.
Mm-hmm. To your opinion.
What?
To your opinion, they're not correct. Right.
To my opinion, is it?
Just said to her.
Understood.
And I mean, so I was just wondering where these facts came from, because you're relying on that document to make your ordinance. So, it was their suggestion, right?
Right.
Based on this, that, and the other thing.
I would say we're indirectly relying on that document. I guess I'll ask Trisha the question. The comments that she's quoting in the re-exam report. The re-exam report informed the planning board who updated the master plan. From the master plan,
those are where the ordinance are coming from. So you're indirectly 100% correct. I mean, the statements are out there, but I don't know if we're relying upon them directly, or are we? Are we based on the
It's referenced.
It's referenced. I mean, there's recommendations in the reexamination report.
Right, that went through the land use settlement.
Correct. So,
I think to that particular area, however, an OB2 is more appropriate than a C1.
Yes.
If it were ever to be developed, don't forget, we're setting this to...
Maybe you need to do something other than OB1. Maybe you need OB2 to make rather. A more restrictive, a more, I mean, you've done that for all these AH this and AH 7, you know, it might work, because, I mean, there's a lot of things in this OB1 that, you know, if you have a mixed-use development in the solar field, there's not enough parking in that area because all the people that live in the apartments that were created that were supposed to be
commercial
park in the train station. So they have sufficient parking within their units, I believe, but they still park in the train station. Yeah, so it's quite a few.
And that would be at some future point if there were to be a proposal to do a development there. That would be something that parking would definitely have to be evaluated. But at the same time, I don't know if you'd want some of the uses from C1 there.
Well, C1 exists there now. You're changing it to something else.
Right.
So that's why I'm coming to,
something
to just...
Something is more fitting with the village characteristics. The rest of the village is OB2. So we're really trying to get some continuity in the building for OB2, extending it up. The C1 is the outlier, not the OB2.
Gotcha, but...
Well, actually, it's VR, isn't it, the rest?
Some is VR. The OB2 is the southern part. So the train station, we view it as more akin to Beaver Avenue.
Hold on.
Just the pure residential aspect.
Yeah, it's actually VR. Everything around it is VR. There's no C1.
The homes are, but the OB2 is kind of more the Beaver Avenue corridor, if you look.
But I think...
That's really a different makeup of the road, though. The village is you know... Just because it's down the road doesn't mean
this is a conversation that will be better had when we have the public hearing.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anything? Tell us how great we're doing. I stole it. Unabashedly. Nothing? All right. We will close the public comment period. And ask Councilman Glazer to make a motion.
I have a motion to
adjourn. Do I have a second? Right. Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynski?
Yes.
Councilman
Sutler?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
Yes. Move to adjourn. Thank you all for turning out this evening.
I want to say.